And now to hear from the scriptures. The reading this morning is from the 146th Psalm. It is the whole thing, verses 1 through 10. So listen for the word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 20th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Here Jesus is telling a parable. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." And when those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the words of Holy Scripture that we have heard this morning, and as we reflect upon them, we need the guidance of your Spirit so that we might come to understand these words and live them. Amen. So, Tuesday was tax day, and lucky us, we all got 3 extra days, didn't we? Did you use them wisely? I remember the first time I did my taxes after I got my first adult job. I figured that I was a smart guy and I could do my own taxes, but I thought I'd get some help, so I went to the library and got Taxes for Dummies. which turned out to be a good idea because I discovered when it comes to taxes, I am indeed a dummy. But thanks to this book, I discovered there are a lot of tax rules. No, not a lot of tax rules. A whole bunch and bunch and bunch of tax rules. Rules upon rules upon rules. Rules that I will never understand, but I have to follow anyway. For example, here are some of what I learned back then about charitable contributions. I learned that I could make a contribution to a church, but I couldn't make one to a social club. I could give my money to the city government, but only if it was used for public purposes, whatever that is. I could deduct the cost of a charity dance, but I could not deduct the dinner that goes with it. I could be generous to the Red Cross, but I could not deduct the blood that I donate. I could donate an old car, but only after I got it appraised first. And so it went, rule after rule. Who knew that there were so many rules about being generous? And in our gospel lesson this morning, there are rules too. Implied, if not stated. As he often did, Jesus used a parable to teach a lesson, and this one was on rules, the rules of generosity. The story goes like this. There once was a landowner who went out to the marketplace one morning to hire some laborers. Apparently, the laborers would gather in the marketplace and wait to get hired. And so he took and hired some of those laborers, offered them the usual daily wage. They agreed, and they went off to work in the landowner's vineyards. But the landowner went out a little bit later and hired a few more workers. And a little bit later, and hired a few more workers. And he kept doing this until 5 o'clock, just an hour before the 6 o'clock quitting time, and he hired yet another crew of laborers. Then the day ended, and it was time to pay the workers for their day of labor. And the rules say, you know, the rules of fairness, the rules of equal pay for equal work, the rules of the Labor Relations Board of ancient Israel, the rules of everybody's sensibility, the rules say that all the laborers who worked all day should get paid the most. And those who worked half a day should get half that amount. And those who worked the last hour should only get paid for an hour. So when the landowner paid the short-term workers a full day's paycheck, I am sure that the all-day laborers noticed and said to themselves, looks like we're getting a bonus. I'm right, right? They should have gotten a bonus. You know I'm right, don't you? Just ask. Just ask the kids that I used to do this lesson with over the years. This passage I would teach in Sunday school or in confirmation classes from time to time. And those kids could see the basic unfairness in this parable, and it was no way it made sense to them. It just wasn't fair. How would the world work if everyone got the same reward no matter how hard they worked? And so there is something wrong with the basic fairness of this parable. And the kids knew it. But then, life is unfair, isn't it? Especially for kids. Younger children, they notice, and older children too, notice how parents are unfair. The older children notice that the younger children get privileges that the older children didn't get at the same age. How's come he can stay up till 10 o'clock? When I was his age, I couldn't do that. Teachers are unfair. The whole class gets punished when one person causes trouble. And that isn't fair, is it? Even pastors are unfair. Although I can't really think of how right now. But what can I say? The kids are right, aren't they? We adults aren't always fair. So I say to the kids what grown-ups have always said to children, you'll understand when you get older. That always works, doesn't it? Yet that isn't the point of Jesus' parable, is it? What seems unfair to us is perfectly fair to God. It's just a matter of perspective. Some of you know that I moved here from Illinois, and in the town where I lived before I moved here, they were building a hill out of trash right there on the prairies of Illinois. They used all that trash that we humans make and used it to build a man-made hill right near where we lived. Called it Mount Trashmore. Now, where we lived, there were no hills to speak of. The land was nearly perfectly flat, so a hill made out of trash came to dominate the local landscape. This hill was the highest point around, and to my young children at the time, it was the highest place in the world, and they couldn't wait till they could go up there. At least that was until we took a vacation to Colorado. There they discovered that their giant hill back home was merely a bump compared to the hills they saw in Colorado. Yet even those majestic mountains towering 2 miles or more into the sky became invisible when viewed from the vantage point of the International Space Station. What was significant was rendered down to nothing by the larger perspective. From the perspective of the all-day laborers, God was terribly unfair. The all-day laborers deserve more than the one-hour laborers. But God, the landowner in this parable, sees it differently. Aren't I allowed to choose to do what I want to with what belongs to me? Are you going to tell me how I should give my money away? Are there rules to my generosity? That's the message coming across. There are rules, but those rules belong to God. And after all, for God, generosity rules. And that's really is what makes this parable so hard for Christians. We don't ask much as Christians. We give much and we give up much to be followers of Christ. All we ask is that we be rewarded for our effort. Maybe not out loud, but we know inside we want to get rewarded, which of course we will be. But don't we secretly ask for something more? Don't we secretly ask that in some way we be rewarded and they not be? That's what we really want, don't we? We want to separate ourselves as good Christians from those other people. Those people who aren't quite as good as us. We deserve it and they don't, whoever they are. They might be the bratty brother or the alcoholic who has the gall to walk in the church building. They might be the popular ones or the people who voted against your candidate. They might be the bullies in the neighborhood or they might be the so-called Christians at the so-called church down the road. It is easy to measure ourselves against others and expect to be rewarded because we know we are better. Better people, better Christians. We are the all-day workers, and those people are the one-hour workers. We are the ones who are deserving. We are the ones who worked all day as Christians in the scorching heat, and they aren't. But that is from our perspective. From God's perspective, it all levels out. We who think that we are the full-time workers are no more deserving than the one-hour workers. We are no more deserving of God's grace than the poor sinner next door, even if we'd like to think so. You see, from God's perspective, we are all one-hour workers. We are all in need of God's generous grace. There's a story told about Daniel Webster, the great American statesman. It seems that he chose not to worship in the churches in Washington, but rode out to the small rural church in Virginia each Sunday. When asked why, he said, "The churches in Washington preach to Daniel Webster, the statesman. The little country church preaches to Daniel Webster, the sinner." We have just come through the season of Lent and experienced the depths of Good Friday, and the exaltations of Easter. If we were paying attention, we would have realized that we are a lot like the rest of the disciples, thinking that we are good followers of Jesus until the moment of testing comes, and then, like them, we scatter and abandon Jesus when it counts. But then that's the message of Easter, that Christ did what he did for all of us, as undeserving as we are. For you see, for God, there are rules of generosity. And the rule is, God's generosity rules. Amen.